Thank you for joining today's Crop Call. I'm Rachel Flockin, and I'll be your moderator. Today's commentary is provided by Mike Kruger of The Money Farm. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to provide the commentary. I would like to remind you, opinions expressed in today's commentary are those of the commentator and not MGX. Nothing should be construed as a trading recommendation by MGX, its employees, or its members, and is the sole opinion of the commentator. After the commentary is complete, I'll ask for questions from media representatives. I'd also like to ask everyone on the call to please use the mute feature on your phone to not disrupt the commentary with background noise. With that, I'll turn it over to Mike.
Well, good morning, everybody, and this long-awaited report that seems like it's been an eternity coming because of the government shutdown, of course, finally landed. And I think coming into the report, there were really three big issues or three factors that people are going to take a look at. Number one was yield. Obviously, the market has been expecting increased corn and soybean yields based on all of the anecdotal harvest reports from producers and others. And in fact, the USDA did raise the corn and soybean yield. I'll talk about those in a minute. Secondly, I think harvested acres has been an issue for several months, and the USDA did make changes, and if there was a surprise, maybe a bullish surprise in today's numbers for both corn and beans, it was that they did reduce harvested acres of both corn and soybeans probably more than most people expected. I think the third part of all of this that people wanted to see was understanding that they're believing they were going to raise the yield and production numbers, then how much of that would be offset by increase in demand. And they did increase the demand for both corn and soybeans. If there's a surprise, I think it's that they did not change the export forecast for U.S. wheat. They left that exactly unchanged from where it was back in September. And in terms of world numbers, they really didn't make any or very few changes, and I'll just kind of highlight those once we get going here. But so having said all that, let's take a look at what they did with U.S. wheat supply and demand. Slightly bearish in that they raised ending stocks by just 4 million bushels from 561 to 565 million bushels. I think the bearish aspect of the report was that the market was expecting maybe an increase in the export forecast. That didn't happen. And also they increased the import total. They went from 140 million bushels back in September to 150 million bushels. So a 10 million bushel increase in the import level of wheat. And I believe that that increased import level is just strictly a factor of the enormous crop in Canada, coupled with some logistical issues to move wheat and canola out of the interior of Canada, both to the port in the U.S., but I think the general feeling has been for several months that we're going to import more Canadian wheat than what we expected a few months ago, again because of just the sheer numbers and their crop size up there. So in terms of U.S. wheat, really not a big change. I think bearish, we're seeing the wheat market down 4 to 5 cents, and I think that's because people expected a smaller ending stocks number, and I also think that you had a little friendlier corn number than expected, and people have been kind of long wheat, short corn for a couple of months on that spread, and I think you're seeing people probably unwind that spread. I might also just add that I think one of the reasons people were a little bit disappointed that the USDA didn't raise the wheat export forecast from the back in September is that wheat export sales are roughly today we have about 21 million tons on the books compared to about 15 million tons of wheat exports at this point last year. So I think that alone was a reason to give people hope that maybe USDA would raise that wheat export forecast. I don't have a clue why they didn't. I'm assuming they didn't just based on the fact that Canada's going to be super competitive as are others. I might add that in terms of world wheat numbers, they left Australia's production unchanged. They increased Canada by about 1.7 million tons. They did reduce Russia and Kazakhstan, and I think that was expected because of harvest issues. It went from being too dry to simply being too wet, so they lost quality plus production. I might also point out that they did overall reduce the world crop by about 2.5 million tons, and they increased ending stocks of wheat just slightly. And interesting to note that in spite of a record or near record world wheat crop, almost 50 million tons larger than a year ago, still world wheat supplies are going to stay about about neutral. So world wheat consumption has been exceptionally good so far this year. The only change I made they did raise U.S. overall wheat crops slightly, raised spring wheat by a couple million bushels is all. I actually thought maybe they would increase that more because yields were pretty incredible across the Dakotas and western Minnesota. Okay, the big one, of course, was corn. The market was anticipating a pretty sizable increase in the corn yield, and that's what they got. We went from 155.3 bushels per acre back in September to 160.4 in today's report. That, though, was offset by almost a 2 million acre decline in harvested acres. So the net result of the big yield increase was we increased total production by 146 million bushels, took us to 13.989 billion. Obviously, before the report, the average trade guess was slightly over 14 billion bushel crop. That's been talked about for a couple of months. There were some estimates out there as high as a 14.3 to 14.4 billion bushel crop. So I think in general, if there's a number that wasn't nearly as bearish as people expected, it has to come in the corn number. In addition to that, they did increase exports of corn by 175 million bushels. They increased total usage of corn by 275 million bushels, and the end result of all of that was they increased corn ending stocks by just 32 million bushels. So it's 1.887 billion compared to 1.855 back in September. And of course, the bearish part of corn, it was only 824 million bushels at the end of August, the previous old crop year. So we are going to double plus a little bit corn ending stocks. You can't say that's bullish, of course, even though it's a little bit smaller than expected. But I don't think nearly as bearish as some people had thought they would see in terms of U.S. corn supply and demand. And of course, going forward now, I think the corn market's going to depend on just what does happen with demand. I would say that corn export sales out of the U.S. so far this marketing year, which started September 1st, are almost exactly double what they were a year ago at this time. And of course, a year ago, they were awful. But we're at 22.2 million tons of corn export sales compared to 11 million tons at this time last year. Also, I think important to note in all of the numbers, export sales especially, is there's about 4.7 million tons of export sales of corn on the books to China so far, compared to just below a million metric tons at this time last year. So we had corn at the low today, 415.5. We were as high as 429.5. At the moment we're 424, up 3.5. So, you know, a muted response on the upside, but I think there were some who thought we could approach the $4 mark if the numbers came out as bearish as some of the high side estimates, which didn't happen. In terms of world corn supplies, the Argentine crop was left exactly unchanged. They did trim Brazil's crop by 2 million tons, and they increased the corn production by about 2.5 million tons in the FSU region, left the Ukraine exactly unchanged. So we will see an increase in world corn ending supplies, a pretty substantial increase from last year, 30 million tons, and a big chunk of that, of course, is both here and in China. In terms of the soybean market, and that's the market that has given us the most excitement this morning, we've traded as much as 29 higher in the January contract. We're right now up 24. We got back to actually traded the November contract back over $13 at $13.05, and in the January contract at $12.96.5. They did give us a 1.8 bushel per acre yield increase from 41.2 to 43. That was partially offset by a 700,000 acre decline in harvested acreage. So net effect of that was an increase in the soybean production estimate of 109 million bushels. They did increase the export forecast on beans by 80 million bushels, and there, you know, some other gyrations within the S&D. But the net result of it all was that we went from soybean ending supplies back in September of 150 to today's estimate of 170. And I don't think the market did view that as at least somewhat bullish. And again, on the demand side, I think we'll start to focus this market more towards that. And as you know, export sales have been pretty huge, at record all-time levels for this point in time. We have 33.2 million tons, million metric tons on the books, compared to about 26 million last year. And of that amount, China has 21.1 million tons of beans on the books, compared to 16 million tons at this point last year. So, you know, demand for beans so far just hasn't slowed down at all. In terms of get to the world soybean numbers, we for several months now, USDA and others have been estimating all-time record production in both Argentina and Brazil, and they left those numbers exactly unchanged today. 53.5 million tons in Argentina, 88 million tons in Brazil. They also left China's import forecast unchanged at 69 million metric tons. So in terms of world numbers, those three, I think, are the important numbers, and they left those unchanged. I think also interesting in terms of world numbers that despite a better U.S. crop and despite forecasts for record South American production, today's numbers actually reduced world ending supplies of soybeans by about 1.3 million tons from their September estimate. Now, we are going to be, you know, 10 million tons above where we were a year ago. I don't think that that's a significant increase based on the consumption trends. It just don't seem to slow down very much going forward. So the bean market has been all over the map, lower early. As I mentioned, we've been as high as nearly 30 cents, and now we're hovering at around 24 to 25 cents higher. So in general, if I kind of want to quickly recap, I think the market got the yield increase it was expecting, maybe a little bit more of a yield increase than most people thought, offset by smaller harvested acres and increases in demand. And the corn number is kind of so-so, although I do think that it means a threat of further significant drops in the corn market are probably behind us. Whether we put lows in at a dime where we're trading or not, I'm not sure if I can say that. And I suspect at some point you'll see markets maybe try to make another press down towards that 410 to 415 area in the December and similar areas in the March. But I kind of suspect that farmer selling is going to remain pretty light based on the fact that this report wasn't as bearish as they feared. Basis level should stay firm. And I feel the same way about the soybean market as well. So with that, I would take any questions.
Okay.
And I have not gone through the state-by-state production numbers yet, sorry, so I don't know where the big changes were, but I assume a little bit up every place.
Okay. Mike from Red River Farm Network, do you have a question?
I don't. I got the rum. Thank you. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Michael.
Okay. Steve, do you have a question?
Nope. Like the previous guy, I got to get off and get to the broadcast. So thank you very much. Great information.
Thanks.
Michelle, do you have a question? Fran, do you have a question?
It's pretty easy, guys.
Ken, do you have a question?
Well, I can try one real quick. Like the USDA said they aren't going to do anything with canola or dyeable beans until January. That's not a real big factor. Everybody pretty much knows where that's at, I would imagine, or has a pretty good guesstimate.
Yeah, and I think like the rest of this stuff, we've seen really good yields in both those commodities. And, of course, the relative to Canada's canola crop, our production is pretty small.
I figured I'd get a question anyway because I think you covered the rest.
Do you have another question?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other members of the media that I may have missed that have a question for Mike?
Hi, this is Andrea Johnson, Minnesota Farm Guide.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi. I'd like you to talk a little bit about farm income this year versus a year ago. What are you seeing for farmers in the upper Midwest?
Well, of course, we're coming off of four or five consecutive years of record net farm income. You know, we've had decent yields and, of course, high prices, and obviously those numbers are going to slip, I think, fairly significantly in the months ahead, you know, I mean, we're talking about going from $7 corn to maybe $4 to $4.25 corn. Bean market should stay relatively, you know, firm compared to a year ago, and wheat prices are off probably a buck or a buck and a half, and canola and sunflower prices are off of last year's highs. So the degree to which we see net farm income decline, I think, is yet to be determined. I think it'll still be a relatively good year because I think yields, as we noted today, are better than anybody really thought they'd be 6 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago, at least up in this part of the world. Now, whether those numbers drop off enough to generate any payments from the crop revenue insurance, I haven't taken a look at those numbers just yet. There, I'm sure there'll be some insurance payments forthcoming because of that. But I think, in general, yeah, we're gonna drop off that steep incline we've been on for a few years in net farm income.
Do you have a follow-up question?
Well, I just was kind of curious about his comment. His expectations are that farmers will probably want to hold on to their crops now that they've seen this report. I think farmers were really waiting for this report, weren't they?
You know, one thing that has surprised me throughout this harvest is that I think by almost all commercial accounts, forward purchases, new crop purchases by farmers across the country were well below levels we'd seen in a number of years. Farmers just hadn't sold much because prices were declining because of all the uncertainty about crops. And then as we get into the harvest, and you know, just about every place or everyone you talk to, yields were at least somewhat better than expected, and we still didn't see much of an increase in producer selling, which surprised me. I thought with low sales on the books and better than expected yields, we'd see that selling picked up, and still haven't. And I kind of think that this report's going to solidify in producers' minds that maybe they don't have so much downside left and they're willing to sit back and wait and take a chance to see what prices do over the next couple of months.
Okay, thank you very much.
Any other questions for members of the media?
Yeah, this is Michelle Rook at WNAX. Sorry, Mike, I had to jump off to do markets. So if somebody else asks this, I apologize. Do you think this report will effectively solidify harvest lows in corn and beans?
You know, I'm not sure about it. I think it probably has. You know, I think there were those hoping that if we had a negative report, a much bigger number on corn, for example, in excess of a 2 billion bushel carryout, you'd see a sharp decline today, maybe tomorrow, and put the harvest lows in then. Down in the neighborhood of maybe, you know, 4 to 4.10 in December corn. That didn't happen. I suspect, yeah, maybe you could still see something like that, but we're pretty much done with this harvest of both corn and beans, and demand stays strong, and I think it would be difficult to push the market down to those levels unless we had some kind of a, you know, one of those unpredictable outside market influences that would cause just general money to exit everything. And I think the bean number and bean demand has just been so strong, and we've already factored in record world crops. I think, you know, we've talked about record production in Argentina and Brazil for months. I just think unless China totally collapses, this bean market is not that these markets have to go anyplace especially higher, but I think the downside risk is pretty much over for a while.
Does the corn number, I mean, big crops usually get bigger. Does the corn number go up in the January report? Because it almost feels like today, with the fact that we were under 2 billion bushel carryout and everybody was expecting that on corn and the funds record short, we're getting kind of a muted reaction.
Yeah, we are getting a muted reaction. Part of that, I think part of that is because it's Friday. Part of it because a lot of the world markets have been closed for a long time already when this report was released. Part of it is just, I think, simply because the price history of USDA reports in the last year and a half has not been good, and I just wonder if people, you know, are going to sit back and watch this thing for a few days before they do much in terms of even short covering.
Thanks.
And I don't know if the crop will get bigger. I don't know about that. I mean, I know that's kind of traditionally been the case, but you know, this report was done when a fair amount of the corn harvest was done, and I haven't gone back yet and had time to look at all their, you know, they make pretty significant or detailed commentaries and ear weights and all that kind of stuff. I haven't had time to look at that yet.
Is this enough to get the January beans out of the top side of the trading range that we've been in?
You know, I think it could be. I think, like I mentioned, when you look at the sheer amount of sales on the books and more almost every other day this week, I think that you're going to find people want to, you know, once these reports are going to get behind us, users without coverage, I think, are going to want to extend coverage.
Okay. Well, thank you all for your questions, and thank you for Mike for providing today's commentary. Audio of this call will be available on our website later this morning. Additionally, MJX offers market commentary in both audio and text on the MJX website. Our next call will be Tuesday, December 10th, with the WASDE and Crop Production Report. Have a good day, everyone.